Welcome to Ballistic Radio. Join us as we discuss hard-won self-defense lessons, as well as the information you need to survive a violent encounter. Listen as armed professionals, industry experts, national champions, and gunfight survivors help answer all your firearms and self-defense questions while exploring your rights and responsibilities as an armed citizen. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. And now, here is your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com. Get the latest behind-the-scenes info, arguments, photos, videos, chances to win free stuff, other things, at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Co-hosting with me, Jack!
Yay!
I really don't feel that good.
You don't look that good either.
I don't think I sound that good. I mean, not that I ever sound good, but...
You're a couple of decibels away from me taking you out back like old Yeller.
Oh, man. I can't decide if it's like Kathleen Turner or Tom Waits that I'm channeling right now.
Oh, leave Tom Waits out of this.
Jeez. We've got a Facebook user episode tonight, which is awesome because then I get to do even more talking, which, yay. But before that, hey, Jack, guess what?
What's that, John?
This segment brought to you by Tactical Night Vision Company. The night is dark and full of terrors, or at least it used to be. But now we have the technology to fight the night. TNVC is your one-stop shop for all your dark fighting needs. From the TNV PVS 14 night vision goggle to the IR Patrol thermal monocular and everything in between, TNVC can outfit your defense against the dark arts. Doesn't matter if it's your lost keys, the enemy, or that little kid from down the street that likes to wander off. TNVC has what you need to find things in the dark. TNVC now with financing. Own or finance the night. Yes, Jack?
Are you going to make it?
I'll be good. I'll be good.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm like, where's my water? Oh, God. So, like I said, it's a Facebook user question episode. We got all sorts of great stuff for tonight, I think. There's some pretty awesome questions.
We got some good questions coming up.
So, I wanted to see the last show before Christmas. We're actually not going to have an episode on Christmas. Since the show falls on Christmas, we've...
Go see your families.
Yeah, really. We're going to do that.
Or drink in a bar like I'll be doing.
No, you're invited. Hey, you get along great with my dad.
I love your dad.
My dad's awesome. Oh, wait, I was going to tell a story, but it's not fit for...
No.
Anyway, let's just...
Right into the questions. Coming from Craig Needham Jr., why are you so obsessed with 1911s? Is it despite the purist, or are there merits to a 9mm 1911?
You left out the 9mm part.
I forgot.
Why am I so obsessed with 9mm 1911s?
Obsessed feels like a strong word.
Yeah, I mean, well, and then I realized that, like, we posted a photo not too long ago, and there were, like, nine 9mm 1911s sitting on a table, and it's like, oh. The main reason is I shoot them better than the 45 caliber version. I know, you know, some people are purists, they prefer the 45, whatever. I'm of the opinion, and most the people that study these things are of the opinion, that there's not really any appreciable difference in terminal effect between 9, 40, 45. I can hear the keyboards like crying out angrily right now. So if we're operating under the base assumption, which I am, and if you don't agree with me, that's cool. I'm not going to argue it. But if you're operating under the base assumption that pretty much any round that I put in that caliber-wise is going to be about doing the same thing, I would prefer to have a couple more rounds, have a gun that's easier to shoot one-handed. It's just more enjoyable to shoot. So that's the main reason why I'm a fan. And honestly, you know, the criticism has always been, well, they're not as reliable as the 45, and that's not been my experience. I've gotten to shoot a lot of Wilson Combat 1911s, playing with a 45 caliber one right now, and it's been fine. I haven't had any problems with it, you know, but I had a 9mm, the Protector Professional right before, and a couple months before it came out. We put 15,000 rounds through it, and got, I think, two malfunctions out of 15,000 rounds. That was after 4,500 rounds without cleaning it or doing anything, and it was filthy. So I just like it better. If you don't, that's cool.
So you said that you shoot them better?
Yeah.
I prefer 9mm 1911s because I shoot them, and it's far cheaper.
Right. There's that, too.
Like, when you look at a 50% saving, because I really only shoot 1911s or 2011s in competition.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man, I'm so much happier with the amount I've spent doing this.
Well, it's funny, too, because, like I say, I shoot them better. And then we were actually playing around with timing some stuff a couple weeks ago. Draw to shots and stuff like that, and split times and all that.
Oh, I thought you were talking about that thing we agreed not to talk about just yet.
Yeah, sure. And was looking at like the time differences between a 45 and a 9, and like a tenth of a second, or excuse me, like a hundredth of a second difference in between splits and stuff like that. So that's my reason. That's not that exciting. I just like them better. Is that a good enough answer?
I guess the answer he wanted was, we hate the purists and we're going to make fun of them, but that's not the case.
No, I mean, so the thing is, like, I'm already so behind the power curve of who I'm going to make fun of just by saying I like a 1911, you know, in today's world. But I like them a lot. I think that they fill a really good role, and, you know, I shoot them well, so, but that's an entirely different show.
Coming from Ryan James, is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Absolutely.
Is there any better Christmas movie? We learn about family, sacrifice, giving rather than receiving.
Duty.
All the bees.
Yeah. Otter. What happens to people after they take candy bars out of like little concession stands?
And
Bruce Willis kills them.
And you ask for a miracle, and I give you the FBI.
Ho ho ho.
Now I have a machine gun.
Wow. Wow. So, oh yeah, by the way, congratulations on making it a whole year here and not having any of the firings stick.
Of the many countless firings, I'm still here. Trucking along.
You're like Kenny on South Park.
I've been fired in a month.
Huh.
Keep that in mind.
Scary. If you say coming from one more time, I'm firing you.
That's fair. David Palmer asks, how do you like the VG3 holster?
I like it for a very specific role, and that role is a general purpose holster that, you know, if I want to carry a bunch of different guns, and the commonality is that I've got an X300 Ultra on them, it works pretty well. Assuming that it's a short enough slide that it'll actually work with the holster. It's pretty comfortable. I when we took the tactical short bus out to SHOT Show last year, and then on the way back, I was wearing a VG3 that entire time with a Glock 19. And I was like 36 hours in a van. You just looked at me like, really?
Yeah, I was trying to think if we had the VG3s then.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. Because it didn't fit the 34 that I was carrying.
Right.
Which is the only problem with them. If your barrel is over.
Right. I was actually trying to say you should get closer to the mic.
I thought you were saying cut that short. No. I didn't know what you were doing. You've never thrown that hand signal at me before.
I'm sorry. See, this is how gang fights start, right here. Oh, we got 45 seconds left in the segment, Jack.
We could talk about the VG3 a little bit more, because I like it for going to get my mail. Like, I put on the least amount of crap I need to.
Right.
And I go to get my mail.
I actually have a fanny pack for that, because I've apparently hit the age where I no longer care what other people think about me.
I have neighbors that can see me, so I don't wear a fanny pack around them.
You go in public with a fanny pack.
Totally different.
Oh, okay. Totally different. Huge difference.
Huge.
Oh, geez. No, it's okay. I mean, this will actually segue nicely into a conversation about weapon-mounted lights that we're going to have when we get back from the break, but it's one of the best options there is if you're going to carry an X300 currently, that I found at least. Anyway, You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Sig Sauer, now with more options. We're not all the same, and our carry gun shouldn't have to be either. Sig Sauer gives you choices, and with more models than the Bible's got Psalms, it's never been easier to find a Sig Sauer that fits your needs. From the extremely versatile Striker-fired P320 with modular grip frame, to the Legion Series P226, the single-stack P225A1, or the entry-level SP2022, Sig Sauer makes a model that's right for you. Just don't ask for a Callahan full-bore auto-lock. They don't make that yet. Sig Sauer, when it counts. Apparently, I'm like going through puberty all over again or something like that. It's the only thing that I can...
Sound like Dev. You need a hot toddy. That's what you need.
I actually feel a lot better today than I have, which is the scary part. So this is dedication. I love my job so much that we hadn't recorded a show for this weekend. And anyway, so we're answering your questions.
So you said if I was fired, if I said
no.
Okay. So alrighty then. Jason Anderson.
Doesn't even fit into that one.
What's your opinion on weapon-mounted lights? Pros? Cons?
Oh, man. We could do a whole show about this. So, let's break that down into what is our context and what do we expect a reasonable encounter for us is going to look like. So I'll say that my thoughts on weapon-mounted lights for civilian concealed carriers versus my thoughts on weapon-mounted lights for cops or military, two very different things. If you can carry a weapon-mounted light on your gun without compromising anything else, and if you don't have to pick between spending the money on a weapon-mounted light or training or ammo, then sure, that's great. The thing I will say, I've only been able to find one civilian self-defense encounter that's involved a weapon-mounted light. So it's a very unlikely thing that you would need one. The other thing that I will say, too, is that unless you are practicing every single time on the draw stroke to activate the light, or unless you're using a pressure tape or something like that, the chances you actually get the light on are pretty small, because I've gotten to review all sorts of dash cam footage where cops at night have a flashlight in their left hand, draw their service pistol, and everyone's like, well, I would just drop the light in my left hand once I know I got to shoot and activate the light and start shooting, and that's not what happens. What happens is people hold on to the light, they never activate the weapon-mounted light, and they do work and whatever. So, I mean, I've got them. I carry them when I can. I've been developing a holster with Darkstar gear for a couple of years now to carry a weapon-mounted light, so clearly I see value in it. The other thing I'll say, too, if we're talking like a home defense long gun, absolutely needs a weapon-mounted light, hands down. Not that you can't use a handheld with a long gun, but most people don't train it. As far as having one on a pistol for in the home, I think that's a good idea, too, if you keep in mind that you don't have a flashlight with a gun attached to it. You have a gun with a flashlight attached to it, and if what you're doing is just scanning with that hotspot, well, you're muzzling whatever you're pointing the light at, and that can be problematic as well. So I don't know if that was an answer so much as here's some questions to think about before you consider getting one or using one, but I think that's something that a lot of people miss.
What do you think they should be looking for in one of those, in a weapon-mounted light? Let's just say for a handgun right now, because I think they're two different things.
Well, you know, and full disclosure, Surefire is a sponsor, and their segment's coming up in a couple minutes. But I like the Surefire X300s a lot because they're very durable. They are a very... bright light as far as it's got the minimum amount, actually a little bit more of lumens that I want. why do I want all the lumens, or why is that important? Generally because the more I've got, the larger my splash, the more I can do some, you know, illumination techniques that don't require me to point the light at something. You know, there are some other companies that make really good lights too. You know, I know a lot of people that like the TLR1s or whatever. I've never had as much luck with their mounting systems. I've had that break before, but, you know, that's something that happens. One thing I will say is that if you're putting like a plastic light on your gun or something like that, those tend to break under recoil a lot. So, you know, my first pick is Surefire, and then the other brands sort of go down from there as far as durability goes. But essentially, you want to be able to activate it one-handed if you have to. You know, I would say that if you're going to use one just constant on, I know a lot of people try and mess with momentary, and then, you know, the light isn't on when they want it to be, or it is on when they don't want it to be. But, you know, it's just my opinions on it.
Larry Strange asks, would you recommend saving up for a really nice AR or buying a cheaper AR if you don't think it'll have that high of a round count?
I guess it kind of depends on what sort of person you are. So I've always been a fan of the buy once, cry once, and the reason for that is I had bought a lot of cheap stuff. Wow, I almost cursed for the first time in
I heard that. I was like,
a couple years, actually. It's been a while since I've even come close. I used to be a fan. I would buy the deal or the cheap stuff because, well, that was all I needed. But the issue was that I didn't accurately predict what my growth would be as a shooter or how my situation would change. And you know, I ended up spending a lot of money early on that had I just saved up and gotten something good, I wouldn't have had that like back and forth between I didn't spend enough or I didn't get a high enough quality thing. So if you know for a fact that you're going to buy a long gun and you're never going to use it or whatever, can you get like an entry-level AR and probably be okay? Sure. If you think there's any question that you might go and start take training though or something like that, I would save up for something good and sort of go from there. I mean, you know, once again, wow, we're talking about a lot of sponsors tonight. I'm partial to Daniel Defense. One, they sponsor the show. Two, they make an amazing product. You know, but going to something like a Daniel Defense or a BCM or maybe a Colt on the lower spectrum of high quality, you know, you could do something like that over some of the consumer grade guns that maybe have really good warranties because you're going to need them, you know. So, but that's really where you got to take a look and be like, am I going to use this or not? So it's kind of my thoughts.
I mean, I think if you're going to shoot more than 500 rounds, you will save money in the long run by going to a good gun.
Right. Well, the other thing too is that, like, you know, you can buy something, you know, like any of the Daniel Defenses I've had, I've put, you know, other than the 308, at least 5,000 or 6,000 rounds for each one. And we've had like 4 or 5 this year.
The 308, we were around 2,000.
Right.
When I was done with it.
Right. You know, and they have held up really, really well. Is that a lot of rounds, you know, for me? No, actually, it's not. Is that a lot of rounds for most people? Sure is. And realistically, you could buy a high quality AR, and honestly, it's the only rifle you'll ever need. You know, especially when you get like a high quality AR that also has a really, really good warranty. It's kind of hard to argue with that. You know, then the other thing that you're paying for too is quality control. Like we've gone down to the Daniel Defense factory a couple times now, and the QC that they do there is incredible. So, but got about a minute and a half left, Jack. I think we could get maybe one more in.
You know, look for an easy one to lob at you.
None of them are easy right now. I'm just like, doop, 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 derp, derp.
Does a 3-inch or 4-inch full-size 357 Magnum still have a use other than a range toy? From Mike Ford.
And you thought that was an easy one, huh?
I mean, I don't shoot grandpa guns, so it's easy for me to say.
Gee, thanks, Jack. Yeah, I think there is. I know a lot of guys that are getting towards the end of their careers, or the beginning of the end of their careers or whatever, that started out in law enforcement and had wheel guns and did plenty of good work with that. I mean, the thing is, you could carry a 6-shot revolver and probably be prepared for, 80% of the typical encounters that we see. The thing is, what about that 20%? And that's where they really start to, at least from a capacity wise, kind of fall down a little bit. Jack, why don't you remind me when we get back? We'll touch on a couple more things, but we got to go to break right
Will
now.
do.
Thank you. It's a Facebook user question show, and you are listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Wilson Combat. Wilson Combat, makers of the finest custom 1911s and scatter guns since 1977. Legacy of quality, innovation, and service. Learn more about their firearms and accessories at www.wilsoncombat.com. And every time I try and speak, I'm just like,
Oh,
oh.
please never again make that noise in a recorded fashion.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to record that and put it as your new ringtone in my phone.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Remind me never. So the next time we're recording a bunch of episodes, let's hold one back for the next time that I've got like some sort of like super virus from one of my little germ factories. So anyway, we're answering your questions.
And we were talking about
Oh, revolvers.
grandpa guns.
Yes. So capacity is an issue. I think there, if you're hunting stuff and you need to get, you're shooting game that is maybe a little outside of the range of like a 9mm 40-45 hunting load to do it ethically. Then yeah, that makes sense. As far as for like self-defense, I don't know. I can't really. I'm trying to think. I mean, if you're doing saltwater beach insertions and you're kind of concerned about having a handgun, once you come out of the ocean, then yeah. And up until very recently, we still had revolvers that were in use in certain team environments. So
To stop trolling for a second, I actually just placed money down on a 3-inch revolver as a backup gun.
which one?
The 44 Special.
You nerd.
I will not be called a gun hipster by the likes of you, sir.
Well, no. Now, let me
Wasn't
get
41 Magnum, so
Hey, I sold that to literally and what physically a bigger gun nerd than me. So you turned your mic off and then stop playing with the buttons. So I gotta ask, are you gonna turn the 3-inch 44 Special Magnum or whatever into like the gun that Decker had to when he was a Blade Runner?
Oh yeah.
Is that the plan?
Well, I have thought about getting the top milled down just to put a laser on it and carrying it in a shoulder holster.
Hey, whatever. I'm not gonna make fun of you since you could rip my arms off.
Which brings us to
The next
the
question?
next question.
Yeah.
Who would win in a Kirk versus Spock fight between John and Jack? No knives, no guns.
Do you want my answer first or
Yeah,
your
why
answer
don't you
first?
just go ahead and give your answer?
Jack would absolutely. So the only hope that I would have of beating Jack would be if I had been doing like a little bit extra cardio for the last couple months, somehow enraged him to the point where I could convince him to run after me and just ran him into the ground and then like, poked him with a stick when he was like on his back breathing his last. That's the only way. I don't, maybe if we throw guns in, I might get you there.
If it's like
Hand to hand.
take paces and get the gun in, you're probably gonna get me.
Yeah.
If it's bad breath distance, and this is something I'm gonna bring up. because I actively seek out people who are better than me at fighting, because that's how you learn.
Right.
Is fighting people who are bigger, who are stronger, who are more skilled and everything else.
Are there people that are bigger than you, Jack?
Yeah. I fought a guy who was stronger than me.
That's not what I asked. I know there are guys stronger than you.
I've run into one guy who was bigger than me. I got into a altercation with a defensive lineman for an NFL team.
Like you do.
Like you do. And there had been some alcohol involved. And I remember wrapping him around the arms in like a bear hug and realizing my hands didn't touch in the back.
You're like, oh.
And I was like, oh, no. No. And at the end of that encounter, he very calmly said to me, he goes, I appreciate you not hurting me. And I was like, bro, right. I was in this to just stay alive, and that's all I cared about.
Right. So I'm gonna derail the show for a second. Shout out and congratulations to longtime listener Kyle Goley, who's apparently been accepted to appear on MasterChef. So
I didn't know he was a cook.
Well, he's just like one of the weird people that asks those questions. But no, seriously though. Congrats.
Now I want dinner.
Like, right? Congrats, man.
Yeah, congrats, Kyle.
So look at us.
We know people.
Right?
Corey Dean Utter asks, what are solid pants choices? Blend in enough, but strong enough and pocketed well.
Man, that's... It's a bad question to ask me, because, I mean, at this point, I don't really try to blend that much.
You don't have... Like, I saw a person... We both did. Someone rocking Kryptek pants out in public. And the more I looked at him, I was like... Oh, they've got to have a gun. Then I realized, no, they don't have a gun. They just thought these pants look cool, so they bought them.
Right.
You don't have to really try and... Okay, if you're in an office building environment 90% of the time, rocking multicams is probably a bad idea.
So I will say the company that I'm most impressed with as far as them trying to really explore options for tactical people... Wow, that sounds terrible. People that are interested in stuff like this, without looking like you're interested in stuff like this, is Triple Watt Design. You know, full disclosure, a lot of my friends there, they have given me free stuff in the past. I've also spent thousands of dollars with them. So I think it's kind of like a pretty even wash at this point. I've been a customer for years. I've been really happy with a lot of their stuff. And they do a lot of things that are really well thought out. That don't necessarily look like your usual, I'm a CCW starter pack, which if that's, you know, if that's your thing, cool. I'm not making fun of you, but there's certainly, you know, it's easy to spot. I was traveling. When was I not traveling? I was out in the Carolinas, or driving through the Carolinas on my way to Alliance a couple months ago. And stopped at a Starbucks, and I saw a guy in a SIG Academy hat, wearing an untucked button-down shirt that was a size too big, and cargo pants. And I'm like, I could tell what gun he had on, you know, plus I could see where his reloads were, and, like, there's the flashlight clip to your pocket, there's the pocket knife, and it was like, you know... It was very easy to spot him, and he stuck out really bad, to me at least. Would he stick out to normal people? No, probably not. Would he stick out to someone else that was professionally interested in violence? Whether they're a good guy or a bad guy, I don't know. Maybe. So Triple Out Design, I've been really impressed with. Vertex looks like they've got a bunch of new stuff coming out that looks really cool. Those are some good dudes. I know Kohl's are popular or whatever. I've got a couple pairs. I don't know if they're, I don't think they're as fat guy friendly as some of the other brands are. It's the only thing I can figure. But it really depends. But it is out there if you look. So.
And you could always just wear jeans,
right?
And a t-shirt and be fine.
Right. Well, Triple Out Design actually makes some really nice jeans. So there's that. They're like hipster jeans, but with AR pockets. Behind the back pocket, which is really cool, I think, as someone that goes to the range of jeans a lot. So.
I always look for gusseted crotches. because I know those will be way more comfortable.
What was funny was that I helped Petty, William Petty, teach a VCQB instructor class a couple weeks ago. And the first day positional drill, one of the SWAT cops that is there, like, drops down to urban prone, stands up, and he's blown out the entire crotch of his BDUs. And I'm like, bro, glad you had long johns on. Otherwise, this would be pretty bad. So, what do you got?
Well, we had the phrasing on it was a little weird, so I'm going to change it. We had a discussion about double stack guns versus single stack guns and concealability.
Yes.
And what are some things to take into consideration there?
Is it easier to conceal a single stack versus a double stack, or?
Yeah, more or less.
Really depends on your body type. It really depends on where you're going to be carrying it. Like, on your body, and also physically, where are you going to be carrying it? Is it easier to conceal a single stack gun? Yes, kind of, sort of, but not really. Sometimes they carry better, sometimes they carry more comfortably. If you have to wear more professional clothing, I've found that they work a little bit better. If you're going to be in like a hard NPE, so non-permissive environment, does a single stack gun, you know, improve things? Yeah. But most people can conceal a double stack gun better than they think. One of the other issues too is that, you know, honestly, for years, that what everyone's been clamoring for is like a single stack Glock 19 sized gun. And oddly enough, Rob Pincus has finally given everybody what they've wanted. He's got the Avidity PD-10 coming out anytime now. I've played with a non-firing model at the last SHOT Show, and the ergonomics on it felt pretty okay, and that wasn't even a finalized version. He says he's sending me one to shoot at some point, which I'm looking forward to checking out, but that might be a really good compromise for people that are interested in that. It's also where stuff like the 1911 is still very applicable from a day-to-day. If you want to have a very thin, full-size gun, it certainly fits the bill. So, anyway, well, we got 10 seconds left, Jack. I don't think you can get a question in 10 seconds.
No, but I can let you know that Ozzy is more relevant than Dio.
Oh, and you're fired. And you guys are listening to Ballistic Radio! Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel DeVent, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel DeVent's lighter, stronger, better! This segment brought to you by Surefire! Know your target and what is beyond it. But how can you really know your target? By shining a really bright light at it. And that's where Surefire comes in. From the USB rechargeable 300 lumen Sidekick to the 500 lumen X300 Ultra or M600 Scout Light, Surefire can make sure you never have to yell "Aziz Light" ever again. Doesn't matter if you're shining a light at a potential threat or just helping your friends see through their eyelids. When you need all the lumens for longer, you need Surefire. And now, as a special offer to Ballistic Radio listeners, you can get 30% off at the Surefire.com web store, everything except suppressors and batteries, by entering the discount code ALLTHELUMENS, that is ALLTHELUMENS, at Surefire.com. So we are answering your questions, and I just got to say, Jack, I never realized how dependent some of the spacing was on these ads to being able to breathe through your nose until I couldn't do it. So anyway, we've got more questions, or we've got answers.
We do. We do. Steve
Grosheim.
Grosheim. What are some of the best ways to make your home a hard target?
Multiple levels of security. And essentially what you're doing is just buying yourself time to deploy a firearm or move to a safe room or whatever. So you want early warning. You want to slow people down. Stuff like that. So, you know, perimeter lights, motion activated lights are a good idea. Audible alarms on entry points are a great idea. You know, a dog, if you're into dogs or can at least stand one, also a really good idea. Stuff like that. So essentially, though, and really the easiest thing I can say. A lot of people get very comfortable inside of their home. And they, you know, the first thing they do when they walk in is they take the gun off and they mentally shut down. And they're like, well, I'm safe here because I'm home. I've got an interesting statistic for you, Jack. Did you know that 100% of the home invasion robberies in the United States occurred in the home?
You know, they say that 80% of statistics are made up, but for some reason I believe that one.
I don't know. 60% of the time, it works 100% of the time. Seriously, though, and is that an unlikely event? Sure it is. But, you know, when we have multiple examples of how bad that can go when you're not ready for it, like the Pettit murders, pretty awful. So something to consider.
Well, know? I mean, it's unlikely if everything's going great in your area. The moment your area starts to go down a little bit, yeah, you're probably looking at home invasion robberies.
So. Well, and so I lived in a part of Cincinnati a while ago that when I moved in was sort of on the decline. Then the couple years I lived there didn't get any better. And by the time I stopped living there, what I had done is actually, you know, the like 4 foot long metal fence, like latches or whatever. I had literally drilled a hole through my floor and attached one of those to my door so that I had a steel bar that was running from the top of my door down through the floor on the striker's side. You know, could somebody get through that door? Sure. Sure they could. But it was the difference between now they have to take it off the hinges versus bust open the cheap locks or whatever.
If it's somebody that's going to kick that door down and they're there for more than 30 seconds, they're dedicated.
Right.
And they're coming in no matter what.
Right.
And now I'm going to deal with them. But what I want is that 30 seconds. Like I put a storm sheeting over my glass door.
Yeah.
And reinforced the lock on my door. And after that, if you're in, you're in. And this is a totally different game.
Right. Right. You worked hard to be here. So
welcome to Thunderdome. Beep.
Right. Right. So I got a question for you, Jack.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know, right? This is something you and I have talked about off air a couple of times, but I would like to get your perspective on this because we don't need to get into your background or right. anything like that. But I do think that you have a lot to add on this and not enough people are talking about it. Anyway, do you think that we as a tactical community or self-defense-minded community are paying enough attention to the crimes that violent perpetrators commit on one another? And if not, what some of the information we could be drawing out of that?
So, no, we don't pay attention to what they do to each other. Most people are really blind to it and will go as far to be purposely blind to it when they'll say, like, oh, thug on thug, I don't need to worry about it, or scumbag on scumbag. You do need to worry about it because what they do to each other is what they are a really bad day away from doing to you.
Right.
There tends to be always a economical or physical need that precedes a violent crime.
Right.
Except in the cases of psychopaths, which I can't, there is no economic drive behind that. But for to take a normal person and make them commit a violent crime, there's typically an economic reason that they're doing so, and it tends to be survival.
Right.
I am X amount of days away from dying or X amount of days away from needing to re-up this drug habit. I'm going to commit a violent crime. And when they do so against each other, things tend to get really, really bad. And that's right before they go, you know what? It's not worth me trying to rob this guy who's a drug dealer, who I know has a gun, who I know is willing to use that gun.
Right.
I'm going to seek out a softer target, and that tends to start happening right around the holiday season. You're not safe anywhere.
And it seems like, too, that a lot of, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but it seems like, too, that a lot of people, especially around the holiday time, kind of are losing track of the fact that you're essentially making everywhere you go a target-rich environment. Like, yes. You're storing a lot of easily moved stuff in your house. If you're in a mall parking lot or something like that, or a store parking lot, it's assumed that when you come out, you've got something worth at least a little bit on you.
I know if you go into a store or come out of a store around Christmas, you have a couple $100.
Right.
Like, in some form or fashion. And this happened in an area that I was working for a while, right around the holiday seasons. Guys would start getting kidnapped on the street and taken at gunpoint to ATMs and told to empty them out. And these guys went from, hey, I'm going to go do some shopping, to, oh my God, this is the worst day of my life, and I might die if I don't do what they're asking.
Right.
And when people started looking at that, we found out that months before that had occurred, and they were robbing normal citizens that way, there had been a string of robberies taking place that way on other criminals.
Yeah.
Where they had been robbing drug dealers the exact same way.
Well, and the other thing, too, it's like, and we're going to be at the end of the show here in a minute or two, but it's like they're, you know, criminals in general are much more familiar with violence, and this is where they're practicing it at. So you get to see their tactics, you know, oftentimes on camera.
Yeah.
And sort of like, well, you know, oh, look, they're moving in pairs. Oh, look, they're employing body armor and long guns or whatever. And it was just interesting to me because we've talked about this a lot. You know, we see videos of stuff and everyone's like, you know, everyone's very quick to post the videos of like the concealed carrier or whatever saving the day. But they'll post videos of a crime, or especially, you know, two criminals on you know, each other crime. And it's like, oh, yeah, look at the criminals. It's like, no, we can. This is still a civilian shooting right here.
Like, there was very recently one near a place that I'm very familiar with that was 70 some odd rounds fired between two groups that included two AKs, one on either side is what it's turned out to be.
Yeah.
And several pistols. And it's like, oh, wow.
Anyway. Oh, thank God.
You made it.
Right? So, thanks everybody for putting up with Sick John. I promise the next time you get me, I will be in better health. At least I hope so. Anyway, make sure you check out
our website. It is 2016 still.
Right? It'll be 2017 when we get back. Time travel. Make sure you check out our website, BallisticRadio.com. Like our Facebook page at Facebook.com/BallisticRadio. And hey, keep leaving those 5-star review on iTunes. We really appreciate it. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe and see you next week.